I don't know why, but I just wanted to pause just to see what you do. Anyway.
That's good. I was worried that would be awkward, but it was slick, guys.
Anyway, so today we're going to be talking about the first rule of lesbian club is no lesbians. It's an interesting rule. See how it goes. PayPal backs down. And also the Royal Air Force admit they are racist. And that's a good thing in a weird way. They're racist against white people, in case you were wondering. And men, but I guess that's not a race.
More of a sex.
Yeah. Anyway, first things to mention, so mention some stuff on the website, of course. So this is the book club we'll be doing at, I believe that's 3:30. Is that today? Yeah, that will be today. Giovanni Gentili's The Origins of the Doctrine of Fascism, which Carl has been reading and we'll be doing a book club on later on. So that'll be 3:30 today if you want to come join us after the podcast. I don't know, go eat yourself some biscuits and a mug and sit back down, enjoy more. Otherwise, I suppose we shall get into the Lesbian Fight Club.
This is one of your best titles ever, I have to say. You've outdone yourself here. The first rule of Lesbian Club is no lesbians. Come on, guys. What? This is why Callum's paid the big bucks.
It's a pretty simple rule, I think, although it should be able to be followed, which is this is Lesbian Club, so get out lesbos.
Yeah.
Not part of the club anymore.
Sling your hook.
If you're wondering what the hell I'm talking about, can you guess? Yeah, it's transgenderism yet again. I just every goddamn time, there's a new way they never cease to amaze. In the logic just keeps running. But we'll mention first, in case you're wondering, just to shill, the Universal Acid of Liberalism article from Will Noland. You may remember Will Noland. He was the, I believe he was a...
Eton
professor or teacher?
Teacher.
I don't know if they use professor for Eton. Either way, I'm going to call him professor because he deserves it. So he was the chap who got kicked out for saying that men and women are different. Yeah, I know, big controversial. Can't have the leaders of the rest of the UK finding out that men and women are different. So he's written an article here, though, talking about the universal acid of liberalism and the fact being that, well, if you want everyone to be free, that includes free from reality, which means I can be free from my biological sex, which naturally leads us into no lesbian club. Hmm. So if we go to the next link here, we can see the start of no lesbian club, as I mentioned previously. Don't know if you've seen this, Nick.
I have, yeah.
There's a Labour Party conference. The lesbian Labour are not allowed into Labour conference because no lesbians. Not allowed. You don't want cock? You're not coming in then. I'm sorry. That's not how we allow our lesbians. Our lesbians like cock, thank you very much. And they're not the only ones, it turns out. Because if we go to the next link here, this is a Green Party MP from Austria. Probably the most leftist of leftists you could probably find.
Mm.
Yeah, Green Party, red on the inside. And even she has been kicked out of the lesbian club for being the wrong kind of lesbian.
Wow.
So she says here, lesbians are no longer welcome at lesbian conference. Euro Lesbian Con, which I didn't know that was a thing, but it's in Budapest apparently, which again, funny. Unregistered me less than 24 hours before the start of the lesbian conference in Budapest because of my recent public statements that would go against lesbian club's core values. I'm not going to use her title because I think lesbian club just sounds better. So she says, as a lesbian politician and a woman of color and with a migrant and Muslim background.
Wow, she's got everything, the whole bingo card.
This is something to keep in mind. She's a Green Party MP. So, I mean, this is the language she's going to use.
Yeah.
Which again makes
it... translate it into normal.
Yeah, she's a woman. So there we are. Who's a lesbian. I spoke at the opening of the first lesbian club conference in Vienna in 2017, invoking
that
Monique...
That was the best one.
Were you there?
That was the early work. They've sold out recently, guys.
Oh, literally. Yeah. Ironically. So she says she did her early work, as you say, in lesbian club back in 2017. I was called together with many lesbians to discuss other questions. You must have liked what you heard and saw because I was invited to join Lesbian Club's board meeting in January 2018. I organized vegan catering. We got booze, mixed cocktails, discussed the next conference.
And we also discussed how we're stereotypes.
Yeah. I don't know how you could be more of a left-wing stereotype. So I'm a Green Party MP. I'm
I organized
a migrant, woman of color. Yeah.
I organized a compulsory vegan catering.
Yeah, of course you did. For lesbian club. Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
They hate meat, guys. That's kind of the point with lesbians, isn't it? No meat. Sorry. I'm so sorry. It's too early for that. Sorry, everyone. I'm trying to earn my keep here.
No, that's fair.
My
that's
comedy
good,
background.
Good dad joke. So I joined the board, managed the finances, rewrote the statutes to keep the charity status of the organization, helped selecting workshops for the second conference in Kiev, Ukraine. And of course, she misspells Kiev. She redoes the more modern one because she's still left-wing in the extreme. I sat on panels discussing our intersectional and inclusive lesbian movement. This is where we're wrong. That's where you tripped up, which is you didn't define lesbians as women. You instead defined your movement as intersectional. Yeah, it's going to go bad. She says, and the solidarity we needed to fight, anti-gender backlash. One panel took place while nationalists threw tear gas through the lobby of the hotel. Oh, really? In Ukraine? They don't like lesbians? That's news to me. Huh, funny. The last day, during our debrief meeting, there was a bomb threat in the hotel, and we had to be evacuated. We spent the evening in the nearby pizzeria. So, yeah. Ukrainian views on gender. A couple of months later, I organised Lesbian Club's presence in EuroPride in Vienna. We had our event in Vienna City Hall and called it 1 Million Lesbians. And then it happened. We worked together, we laughed together, we fought together, and we marched together. And at the Dyke March in Vienna, her words, not mine, YouTube, don't shoot, in Albania, which, again, fairly brave, you know, walking the walk, side by side and in solidarity with the broader LGBTQI community, which, yeah, here's your problem. Because immediately after all of this work and all of this foot soldiering, she was banned because she thinks that men can't become women. And it's a bad idea to try that.
Hmm.
Who could have seen this coming? If we go to the next link here, we can see Lesbian Club. Lesbian Club decided to say, Lesbian Club is a inclusive space. Dear Afariaka, I'm going to butcher our name. As you know, Lesbian Club strongly supports trans and gender diverse inclusion and visibility. For that reason, we cannot accept your registration at this conference, even though you have been organizing the previous three all over in places which are not, you know, the funnest places to be a lesbian, I would imagine. However, you are now outside the club. No matter how much work you've done, no matter how much gay acceptance you have brought to the world, no matter how much you've even tried, too bad. First rule of Lesbian Club is no lesbians. We only accept lesbians who accept penis.
They'll always eat themselves, won't they? We've said it before. They always eat themselves. And this is the problem. This is the idea.
Well, no.
Huh? Oh, yeah, well. Because libs will always... They won't... The thing is, this just red pills them in the end, doesn't it? You know, like you've got like Louise Perry. She's you know, was a feminist. Now she's sort of rebelling against that. Now she's called a reactionary feminist. We did that piece on Bridget Fetterly. You know, they still sort of cling to it. You know, they sort of cling to it. Whereas they should just recognize it's all wrong. Yeah. And yeah, this is why I end up with gender critical. They all sort of like, oh, I like feminism, but it's like, no, guys, just walk away. You need to be like Robert De Niro in Heat, just walk away in 30 seconds when you realize your ideas were wrong. You know what I mean? So she'll still cling. Mind you, it's tricky if you're a lesbian. What do you do? You can't walk away from being, you're sort of bound to be politicized somewhat, aren't you?
Well, the argument is made from the left wingers that what she should do is walk away from being an actual lesbian and instead become bisexual, but still claim she's a lesbian.
Right.
Because, you know, sexuality is a choice, according to these people now, which is a big 1A, but whatever.
Yeah. I suppose, being a lesbian is sort of just a reactionary stance at this point, isn't it?
Effectively, yeah. I mean, being an actual gay man or a lesbian is being a reactionary. And welcome to the club, I suppose.
Yeah.
We'll accept you in the traditionalist camp, which is a weird statement, but that's genuinely where we are at. In case you're wondering what on earth her crime actually was, I tried to find it. I only found because they said your statement's in the media. I was like, what media? So I looked it up. This is one German outlet here, German speaking. They're writing here that Greens call for less bureaucracy for trans people.
Really, the headline is, I'd have gone with lesbian banned.
Well, it was
Lesbian Club. I'd have gone with your one.
It was before Lesbian Club banned her.
Oh, sorry.
So she was still in Lesbian Club. Which,
oh, sorry.
But the Greens her party were arguing that if you wanted to become transgender, we should get rid of all of the barriers that make sure that you're serious. And she, being a member of the party, dissented, saying she spoke of possible dangers. What kind of dangers? Such as early treatment of young people who perceive themselves as transgender, and that transgenderness is currently being propagated too strongly. Pretty traditionalist views there.
Based.
So she was kicked out of Lesbian Club. That's it. That's all I could find. I couldn't find anything else with her name on that has anything to do with transgenderism. That was her only dissent, which is, well, hold on a minute. Maybe we should make sure that people are serious before we, you know, do not reversible treatment. And that's it. No more Lesbian Club for her.
Wow.
Sad.
Sounds reasonable to me.
It's good to know. But also, we need to remind ourselves of the kind of people who are doing this. I mean, the kind of people whose utterances are controlling Lesbian Club and the rest of the world, because it's not just Lesbian Club, of course. It's our police force, our government, etc. So this is just a random lunatic I found, who is in response to all of this, but then again, the kind of random lunatic who controls the entire world's narratives with their ideology. No TERF can ever give an honest answer and a rational answer as to why their movement has drawn Nazi support.
Yeah, technically it says as to why their movement drawn Nazi support.
Hmm.
because it's an incoherent sentence missing a word.
But why would the turf movement draw Nazi support, Nick?
Well, probably because it draws the support of everyone. And just
it indeed is that if the Nazis drink water and you drink water.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, even the Nazis can note that women exist.
Toby was saying this in our podcast the other day, Toby Young. It's like, you can always go 6 degrees back to Hitler. There's a lot of chat with Maloney, like, where, you know, it has ties back to Mussolini, but you can always tie it back to, you know what I mean? As you say, like, Hitler liked musicals, therefore you're a Nazi if you like West Side Story.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I did see that Kelly J. Keane was called, was called Marine Le Pen the other day on Twitter. Did you see that?
No.
I see that. Yeah, yeah. Someone said she's basically Marine Le Pen.
Well, I mean, sort of in that regard, which is that women exist. But this is the point, which is that the entire world movement are being controlled by this kind of lunatic.
Here you go. I'm just, while we're there, it's from Sarah Dittum. And it says, Posey Parker is a pound shop Marine Le Pen. And if you think she cares about any woman apart from herself, prepare to be disappointed. This kicked off the other day. How is she a pound shop Marine Le Pen?
Yeah, that's the only thing in my mind. How is she a pound shop? She's like, you know, $1 million shop compared to Marine Le Pen.
Yeah, yeah. How dare she? How dare she?
Anyway, maybe not in Islam, but well, yeah, Posey's views on that one day, I suppose. Probably she's a feminist, so probably not very polite. But anyway, so we'll go to the fact that I'm not joking either, which is that the police force are in our country completely captured by that kind of lunatic Twitter user. Again, you would think you would just say no to. In fact, can we go back just to check out the bio? Just for a cheeky look, I wonder if it's going to be sane. Should we have a look? Lefty autistic geek. Self-described here, not my words. 30-something, trans, I talk, alphabet rights, feminism, anti-racism, general social justice, hashtag actually autistic. She, her. Good to know. Just I had a hankering. I thought I might be right.
The autism was the only bit I liked.
Yeah, it's actually the only nice bit. But otherwise, we shall go forward to the police who are following that completely sane individual's ideas. So this is Sussex Police here, who has scrapped warrant cards that identify male officers and female officers with different tags in November last year. The move prompted complaints that it would make it harder to find a female officer to carry out duties only a woman could do, such as stripping a female suspect, except that, no, men and women are the same. We can't differentiate anymore. So why shouldn't a man strip search Posey Parker? That is genuinely disturbing. Where you're getting to. Obviously. Yeah. The force was also subject to ridicule, the Telegraph write, in 2017 after a sergeant warned high street stores that feminine care signs on women's sanitary products breach gender equality rules. If you say the word feminine, that's you breaking the law, Governor.
Yeah.
And we're going to shut you down.
Well, this is Sussex Police. I mean, they are the cutting edge of the mental police force. You covered it the other day, didn't you? Their obscene response. I don't know if you're going to say it now, but they responded telling people off for misgendering this, rapist?
Child rapist?
Yeah.
So there was a child rapist who was a man, but he says he's a woman. So the police were like, well, fair enough. We must honour the child rapist. So they wrote the, she's been sentenced to a female prison. It's like, oh, good. Oh, that'll go well. The local commissioner, in case you're wondering, has even condemned their own force, as they write here, which is just like, yeah, funnily enough, after you criminalised misgendering a child rapist, I think you've gone too far. I was like, no, they went too far at the start. This is where it was going, and it's still going, unless you actually stop it. But it's not the only place. We have the UK here, and Austria, which are both just collapsing over this. But also Spain is now also going to collapse over all of this. Which is funny, because in this regard, it's socialist on socialist violence. My favourite kind of violence.
I see what you mean. I sort of see it as this woke mind virus, as Elon Musk would call it, has sort of gone around the world, hasn't it? It's happening everywhere. Shouldn't really happen. You think, why would this happen in places like Spain? But it's just viral stupidity has just spread like COVID.
I love it because it's a point. Like, in Spain, we literally have gendered language. Why would we not know there are two genders?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But in general, you sort of expect it. I mean, maybe, I don't know about Spain, but you kind of expect, like, traditionally America's going to have some silly ideas. Do you know what I mean? It's going to have the weirdest people. It's going to have everything. But you just sort of, when this spreads around the world, you think, really? But yeah, stupidity can spread now rapidly, right?
But I got to tell you about this, because, as I say, it is socialist and socialist violence, which is the best kind. So a controversial law that will grant trans rights in Spain, a trans right to what? My question is never answered, but whatever.
Right to exist.
They already exist.
You've not seen that movie.
That's already allowed. Anyway, so it's prompted a row within the socialist left government after a deputy prime minister warns that it would destroy women's rights. Yeah. All right, actually, I'm in support of this. Now that you've mentioned that. The draft law, which would allow children as young as 14 to change their legal gender with no medical diagnosis, has angered conservatives, conservative leftists, if you're wondering, a whole other conversation, who say that it puts minors at risk. The bill removes the requirement for 2 years of hormone therapy and psychological assessments to switch gender in official records. It's amazing. Great. Yeah. I mean, the entire world is going to be destroyed by all of this nonsense. And ironically, thanks Obama. I don't know if you saw our segment about that with Matt Walsh's investigation.
No.
So Matt Walsh managed to get the audio recordings of when this was all being pitched in like 2016 or something at these hospitals. And the pitch was made on a financial basis. And the argument was...
Oh, the Vanderbilt thing. I saw that video.
Yeah. Thanks to Obamacare, now any transition surgeries, top or bottom, are completely covered. So we're going to get loads of money out of this if we just push it.
Yeah, I tweeted about that. It's like getting money for mutilating children while claiming you're the good people.
But it's all thanks to Obama, funnily enough. So the thanks Obama meme has actually come back around to haunt us.
Nice.
Because that's the thing. It's like, you've obviously got the ideological element, but the financial element is what makes this such a push, and therefore why it ends up in Spain of all places.
Yeah.
Yeah. Previously, applicants needed to have diagnosis by several doctors of gender dysphoria, which would be reasonable, which is a psychological condition of feeling a mismatch between one's biological sex and gender identity. Teenagers between 14 and 16 will be able to apply for these changes with parental permission or by going to a judge if there is disagreement between them. So they're going to end up with a Canadian situation where the dad doesn't consent, but the insane mum does. So it happens anyway. Yeah. Fantastic. They're concerned that, for example, the safety of women in areas such as prisons and their rights in spheres of such as health, sport, and politics will be endangered. Yes. There's a reason I love doing these stories, because this stuff comes out of the continent every now and again. They're like, oh God, what if we do this stuff all the Anglos are doing? And then they're like, hang on a tick, this might go badly. And we're sat here in Anglosphere land, looking at you, being like, yes, it goes very badly. You end up with a lot of raped female inmates. It's
sort of like Back to the Future, where sort of they're saying, this is what happens to Biff. Is this the wrong reference for your age group?
No, I get it.
Okay. Where the future going, this is what you... Yeah.
They're living in 2010 and we're in 2030 like, oh God. So drafted by the Equality Ministry, because of course, which is run by the radical left Podemos Party, the government's junior coalition partner, the bill was passed by a cabinet last year and presented in Parliament where it is pending debate. Socialist opposition to the bill has been led by some guy, I don't speak Spanish, I'm not going to try, a deputy prime minister who has reopened public debate onto it to the displeasure of Pomados, suggesting that it should be stopped or changed. Quote, we must distinguish between the need for the state to respond to trans people and a queer theory that threatens to destroy all of the progressive laws that have established equality between men and women. All right, number one, how does this guy sound more conservative than our own conservatives, but whatever, like actually calling out queer theory. But number two, actually, what are you talking about? Think about that for a minute. As Will Nolan points out in his article I referenced at the start, if you think there are no differences between men and women, that men and women should be treated the same and seen upon as exactly the same, well, in which case you actually can't differentiate between them. You're not meant to. You've criminalized it. In which case, you're accepting that men and women can be free of their own biology. They're not constrained by the fact that you are a man or a woman and therefore you're better at some things and worse at others. Instead, you should be free from that biology to do whatever you want. And in which case, why shouldn't you be free from your biology to become a woman? Well, you're not. So then this dude standing there being like, no, I just want the sensible liberalism. It's like, yeah, you get the rest of it too, brud.
Yeah, well, it depends what he means by the state to respond to trans people. I mean, he could mean with violence. I don't know what he means.
He probably just means, cool, just pay your taxes, which seems to be the reasonable way of dealing with it.
No, it's impossible. He's saying, like you say, how can you respond to trans people, but also not, you just got to reject the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is what we're learning.
Like, you have to accept that men and women are different and therefore tailor the world to that reality instead of creating a fantasy that we could become free from our own biology.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. Like, you're a madman. Anyway, just a side note. But a spokeswoman for the far leftists who propose this hit back, quote, it is important to avoid the transphobic speeches that have been seen during these months. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, we're in the Anglo world. I don't need to read the rest of that. You know what it says. This is transphobia. Right, okay, progress. The original draft proposed in the Equality Ministry has actually been watered down since it first came out. It would actually eliminate the clause and would permit 16-year-old individuals to make decisions about hormones, without any parental guidance, which I think is the law in America. Good job, guys. You're the insane ones, in case you're wondering. Originally, the draft proposed that those aged 12 would be able to change their name and gender, if supported by the parents. But the pro-transgender rights groups in Spain have protested that the bill does not actually go far enough, saying it fails to accommodate people aged 12 and 13 who require court approval for the process, and younger children who are excluded. Younger than 12.
Depressing.
I mean, just there you have it. There's lesbian club for you, which not only doesn't include any lesbians now, thanks to all of this, but the ideology has completely taken over even mainland Europe now. In reality, we have Austria falling and now Spain, which is now in the big swing of the debate we had maybe a few years ago, which is this insane? And thankfully, in the Anglo world, we're moving on, but...
Yeah. Can I just ask one slight side note there when he says it's important to avoid transphobic speeches? Whenever you hear anything phobic now, do you just instantly think that's nonsense? Do you believe any of the phobics? I was thinking, arachnophobic, I probably still believe you're scared of spiders. But yeah. Anytime I hear phobic, other than that, I just go... some ideological nonsense that's a lie is about to come at me.
If it's ever about a protected characteristic, 100% nonsense.
Right.
But if it's about spiders or clowns or something, then, I don't know. Send in your fears in the comments. Otherwise, that's Lesbian Club, which no more lesbians, I suppose.
Well, we broke the first two rules there. So you want to do my little segment? So I've got a white pill for you here, guys. I'm attempting a white pill amongst the mega pharmacy of black pills that is the Lotus Eaters. I just thought we've had too many black pills, so let's have a small win. It's already been explained to me in the office why it's not as much of a win as I thought. It's already been taken away from me cruelly, but I'm going to go for it anyway. And I'm going to say that PayPal has backed down and we have beaten them because my friend and associate Toby Young, who I do a podcast with, full disclosure, called The Weekly Skeptic, and which is association with The Daily Skeptic.
Clearly you're biased.
Yes, I am biased. We, if I can say that, got shut down. Toby lost to his personal account. He lost the Daily Skeptic and he lost the Free Speech Union PayPal. All nuked immediately at once. You may have covered this already, but the big news is they've been reinstated, as Toby explains, in The Spectator. So he said at 5:30 this evening, PayPal notified me that it has restored all three of the accounts it cancelled a couple of weeks ago. Daily Skeptic, Free Speech Union, personal account. And he reads the email, quotes the email from PayPal. We have continued to review the information provided in connection with your account. We take seriously the input from our customers and stakeholders. Based on these ongoing reviews, we have made the decision to reinstate your account. Translation, a load of MPs and the media scared us, pretty much. Yeah. And you've got enough clout to make something happen. You should now be able to use your account in the normal way. We sincerely appreciate your business and offer our apologies for any inconvenience this disruption in service may have caused. They sound like the trains. Forgive us for any inconvenience destroying your business may have caused.
But also, I love the revealing wording, because it used to be, back in the day, that it was a relationship between the provider and the customer, and that was it. Whereas now, of course, in stakeholder capitalism, we have stakeholders to consider.
Right.
People who are not even involved in the business, such right. as ideological activists.
Yes.
Or MPs who might shut us down.
Good point. He carries on, forgive me if I don't jump for joy, since PayPal dropped the bombshell on 15th of September. I've been desperately trying to save the Daily Skeptic and the Free Speech Union from going under. Inconvenience doesn't begin to describe what I've been through. About a quarter of the regular donations people were making to the Daily Skeptic were being made via PayPal, and about a third of the Free Speech Union's members were paying their recurring memberships dues using PayPal. We've had to write to all those people affected and plead with them to use a different payment processor, as well as redraw our annual budgets in anticipation of the revenue loss. So telling me now that it was all a terrible mistake is too little too late. Fair enough, it's a massive problem for your business, obviously. And it clearly wasn't a mistake. PayPal told me it had permanently closed all three accounts and appeals in all three cases had been unsuccessful. It couldn't quite decide why it closed the accounts. It alternated between telling me I'd breached its policy and not promoting hate, violence and racial intolerance, and telling newspapers my accounts had been closed because I was spreading COVID-19 misinformation. But it had definitely decided to close them. So the thing is, with the Daily Skeptic, we even talk about the unholy trinity of the Daily Skeptic, which is woke gobbledygook, because Toby calls it COVID and lockdown mania.
Perfect.
Yeah, and the third one is a climate madness. So imagine within those, of course, you're going to annoy, you know, the woke cathedral with some of those, because, you know, it's all going to be classed as misinformation in their world. He goes, now apparently I'm not guilty of any of these sins and my accounts were just under review after input from its customers and stakeholders. It's decided I'm kosher after all.
That's the amazing thing, because as you say, there's a list of things there which they could try and get upset about. But if they do, then they review it with their MPs to to be like, oh, by the way, are we okay? And well, the reality was that the legislatures in this country were not happy about what had happened, and therefore PayPal backed down. It's not actually whether or not the thing is true.
No.
Truth was thrown out the window long ago.
Right.
In regards to actually shutting down misinformation.
Yeah, it's who's got more clout and what's worse PR. You know, do we want to be woke? Do we want to go against that? What's going to cause us more trouble? Yeah, that's all it is. It's just a calculation. So he goes on, so what's happened? I've received thousands of emails and messages from people telling me they've closed their PayPal accounts in solidarity. Thanks to everyone that did that. I even sent in a complaint. So that may be the input the company is referring to. Another reason may be because the company's efforts to cancel me have been universally condemned across the British media. Last week, Danny Kruger, MP, asked a question about it in Parliament. And on Sunday, a letter was sent to Jacob Rees-Mogg by 42 peers and MPs urging the business secretary to hold PayPal to account. So it was amazing, the response to it. Obviously, it helps if you're Toby. You know, his dad was a lord. He's got some contacts. He used to know people like Michael Gove. And, you know, he knows these people.
He's the leader of the Free Speech Union, which lobbies in Parliament. Well, basically on the public behalf, so make sure we have some rights.
And he does great work, but people have said to me, well, what if you're a normal person who, you know, he doesn't have all Toby's contacts? And that is a concern, and we'll address that in a minute. He goes, it now looks as though a bill currently going through Parliament will be amended to make it illegal for financial services to engage in this kind of political censorship in future. And that is key. And he says, it goes without saying that I won't be using PayPal services again. I made the mistake of trusting PayPal when I set up the Free Speech Union and the Daily Skeptic, embedding its software into our payment processing systems. Given what I know now, that it can demonetize you on a whim, seemingly without any proper justification, I'm not going to make that mistake twice. Maybe if PayPal reinstalls the accounts of all the other people and organizations it has deplatformed for political reasons and promises not to do anything like that again, I might reconsider. In the meantime, I'll still be devoting my energies to lobbying the government to pass a law reining in companies like PayPal so other people with non-woke political views don't have to endure what I've been put through. So, you know, it's pretty noble of Toby saying, I'm still not going to use these punks until you reinstate everyone. Put them all back.
But also to say that he's going to use his contacts and energy to lobby the government to pass a law reining this kind of crap in. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you want to hear. I mean, him being the representative of the Free Speech Union as well. I mean, not only for his members, but the entire public. You could actually defend the entire country's ability to have free speech by passing something like this to stop these kind of payment processes just killing everyone they don't like politically online. I mean, what does it really matter whether or not Toby Young thinks about woke ideology as to whether or not he should be able to pay his bills?
I know.
It makes no sense. I mean, there's no justification for it other than we can. And
yeah,
it's absolutely right that the government should step in an instance like that to protect the people.
And you know what? To quote Toby on Harry Miller, the rebel cop, who actually was at GB News last night, Toby said they messed with the wrong guy. So here, I think with Toby, they messed with the wrong guy. It reminds me of that bit in the Social Network movie where Eduardo says to Zuckerberg, he goes, I'm not just coming back for half, I'm coming back for everything, or whatever he said. So they've messed with him now. So he's like, now I'm coming for you. You know,
we're going to nationalize PayPal in the UK.
Yeah, exactly. Telegraph goes into a bit more detail on it. I won't go into it massively, but he points out Michael Gove and David Davis, both former ministers, Sir Ian Duncan Smith, ex-conservative leader, Sir Graham Brady, they all signed the letter to Rees-Mogg. They said it was hard to avoid construing PayPal's actions as an orchestrated, politically motivated move to silence critical or dissenting views on these topics within the UK. And Mogg said a similar thing, actually. Maybe I'll just go, I just feel like going ahead to what Mogg said, where he said that Jacob Rees-Mogg said corporations such as PayPal should not take part in cancel culture and push political opinions on the British public. And this is where it comes into what you could almost call colonialism or something like that, whereby in England, we have a tradition of free speech. This US tech giant comes in and says, no, we're going to shut down your culture with our culture of censorship. It's like, no, that's our country. That's our long heritage.
It's not even like a traditionalist American either. It's our Californian insane standards.
Right, yes, our West Coast. Yeah, right, because obviously America has First Amendment. So,
but it means that also like majority of Americans are also oppressed in the same way.
Yes.
Thanks to stuff like this. It's like, great, I can't pay my bills anymore. Thank you. Very cool.
Yeah. Exactly. So I don't know how much I need to go through more of the detail, but basically they're considering this legislation in the Commons. They're saying we need to stop this happening again. There's an article in the Telegraph where it says PayPal and other finance companies could be banned from blocking the accounts of campaign groups for political reasons under a new law being proposed by MPs.
Where do I sign up to help?
Yeah. Conservative backbenchers are considering launching an amendment to upcoming financial legislation, in the House of Commons, that would ban companies from freezing campaigners' accounts. So, yeah. So, as I've said, Attack on English Values, it helps that Toby knows everyone, but we have to wait and see if we get this law through. So now I thought I'd move on to how we actually made this happen, which was everyone who contributed, everyone who shut down their PayPal account or complained. And I think we were also really helped by big names like Jack D, if we can see his tweet.
The comedian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jack D, famous comedian in the UK, probably one of the first comedians I saw on the TV growing up, had a big show in the 90s. I think I can say now he was very nice to me when I had my mini cancellation in comedy. I have to call it my mini cancellation because otherwise Toby gets annoyed because he lost five government positions, whereas I merely got piled on horrifically by the comedy world. But I did put it to Toby. I said, who has lost more? The king that loses all his horses and his throne, or the beggar who had one piece of bread that was taken away from him and he was trampled into the dirt? I had nothing, but still got cancelled anyway. I didn't use the word cancel, but Trigonometry used it, so I just sort of use it now. Okay. But I got horrifically piled on by the comedy world.
All you had was comedy.
Yeah. And I said the tiniest thing, and I got like Jason Manford and Richard Herring and all these sort of big comics, people like 400,000 followers, like, you know, slamming me and everyone calling me a bigot and other words that I can't even repeat on here. But for doing nothing, by the way, but you can look into the story. But Jack D was one of the people who was nice to me, and I knew Jack D was a good guy, and I'm not going to say he's on our team. I'm not going to say he's going to be on Lotus Eaters anytime soon. I'm not going to speak for his political opinions, but I am going to say he's cool. And he came out and said, I'm in the process of cancelling my PayPal account. Big tech companies that feel they can bully people for questioning mainstream groupthink don't deserve anyone's business. Boom. And he got 52,000 likes for that, and it was a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of backlash is always wonderful to see. When I have started talking to people, I mean, definitely if I get interactions with someone, business-wise, and they have like pronouns in their company's bio or something, I'm just like, nope.
Yeah,
nope, I'll take it elsewhere.
Yeah. Pronouns in bio, no thank you. So, and in the comedy world, I mean, we have some US listeners. You might not realize, you probably realize, but the comedy world is so woke in the UK that comedians are terrified and pathetic. And if you say anything at all, the thing that happened to me was I didn't get booked for a gig because I was a straight white man. And I said, this is a bit off, isn't it? In a sort of lighthearted way. And I got just destroyed. So for Jack D, one of the most famous comedians, to come out and say this is massive. And then you can see what the response was. So the next one from Tony Pizza, that renowned thinker. Jack D's gone fash. He's gone fash, guys, making a stand on behalf of Toby Young's fake free speech organization, which only defends far-right cases.
Yeah.
Never mind that the Free Speech Union defends cases from all political backgrounds.
Yeah. Kathleen Stock, neo-Nazi, I heard.
Yeah, the idea that's fascist, guys. Speaking out against big tech censorship on behalf of the Free Speech Union, a barely profitable organization that helps everyone, is fascism. So...
yeah, I love the idea that the law protecting everyone from being shut down from PayPal. There's just a little bit in there that says, no lefties, though. Ban them.
Yeah.
I wish, but it's not. So,
could you get really closer to a definition of fascism than a sort of corporation working with governments to shut people down? You know what I mean? Anyway.
No.
So, the stupidity speaks for itself. The next one I liked as well, I think it tops it almost. Jack D coming out as another disappointment. People aren't having their personal accounts cancelled. Toby did. Totally false. Yeah. Hate groups are.
No.
Just call it hate. You win. Cis white hetero men. Oh, and this is where we really see who we're dealing with. Love to have a tantrum over the right to be a bigot rather than the actual bigotry being promoted.
They deserve it. That's what she's saying.
Yeah.
I don't care. You just deserve it. Why? Because you're a white man.
Do you think she even knows what's on the Free Speech Union or the Daily Skeptic? You know, it's like, hey, vaccines may have some side effects, guys. We should look at this scientific study. Cis white hetero bigot. Yeah, it's like, do you even know what you're talking about? The next one takes it to the sort of stupid apotheosis, I think. So Jack D has gone full right, said Fred, and is a COVID denier now. Sigh. This is why Gen X can't have nice things. So we have to translate that from idiot. So gone full right, said Fred. If you haven't seen, right, said Fred have stood up against vaccine harms. And, you know, they've had some...
Stop mentioning the bad words.
I forgot again. I just remembered then. The work you're going to have to do. It's going to be another one of my videos, which is beep, 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 beep. And you go, beep.
Yeah, very good beeps.
Sorry. Sorry.
I'm going to beep all of that.
I forgot. So let me rephrase that. So right said Fred complained about the totally safe and effective medical treatment. So this person is saying that they're like them. And the idea that Jack D is a famous virus denier because he defended the Free Speech Union, the leap that you have to make there, just it automatically goes together in idiot world. You see, how do you go from like, he thinks PayPal, a payment processor shouldn't be able to censor you. Well, he doesn't think the pandemic happened. Like, you have to be absolutely moronic. Anyway, this is how these people think. And Jack, fairly based, doubled down with his response. He got quite a lot of backlash from idiots, but he didn't care. He just, because he also got so much support, he said, "Pleased that this has gained so much support. I believe that together we have a powerful voice, and I'm hopeful that PayPal will rethink their position and change. That would show integrity. Go on, PayPal. It's my birthday." So put a bit of humor in at the end, but very, yeah, very Chad.
The important thing is putting PayPal back in line, which is you're a place where money goes and is sent. That's it.
You're
not a political party. Fucking stop. Just please stop, for the love of God.
Yeah, yeah.
Just take the money.
It's like Ben and Jerry's talking about Israel. You're an ice cream. You know what I mean? It's that thing. It's like,
I don't want to talk about the West Bank.
Yeah.
I just want to get fat. All right? Like,
exactly. I just want to forget my feelings.
You know, that's turned up back in Israel now as well.
Has it?
Yeah. All of just their big secretly fuss about we're not selling it in Israel. Their parent company just went, yes, you are. And now it is.
Yeah. They're idiots. So, of course, James O'Brien will be seething about this. James O'Brien, if you're in the US, he's... Just don't look him up, actually. He's a famous, annoying person on the radio.
Smug leftist.
Yeah. He says, doesn't matter whether you're flogging counterfeit goods or counterfeit journalism, PayPal obviously has the right to shut you down. Yeah, well done, James. Man of the people there.
Okay, well, let's delete you from Twitter, shall we? No, it'll never happen.
Because he says the right things. Toby kindly pointed out the flaw. It's not just people whose politics you disapprove of, though, James. PayPal has also demonetized left-wing accounts. Why should a private corporation be the arbiter of who can and can't express their views in the public square? As a left-winger, surely you recognize the problem. And James O'Brien came back with a wonderfully robust argument here. Can't chat now, Snowflake. One of us has got work in the morning. So the establishment speaks, issues an ad hominem, then disappears off to work to do a job that, by the way, Callum, he recently described as harder than manual labor, which is talking on the radio.
It's really death work.
And he meant it. And you thought, is it ironic? No, he meant it.
He doesn't even do anything useful. Like, he doesn't even, like, present stuff. He just has callers call him up, and then he berates them and takes the piss out of them. Like, he's just mean to them for no reason, doesn't engage in the argument.
Yeah, he goes,
and that's his work?
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. Oh, you think Brexit is good? Oh, I'm sorry they got to you. I'm sorry. You're an idiot, and you can't even see it. And it's painful.
I don't know. There's no prep there. Like, it was just 3 hours of just being a prick.
Like, yeah, that's the tactic. You go, I feel for you. And then he tells them why they're an idiot for 18 minutes. Yeah. My mate in my football team says he used to work with him.
I love the first response there.
Well, that's from one of our people, isn't it?
Bill Nerevar.
Yeah, yeah.
Good job, man.
We can't quote that. It's a bleep. Yeah. But it was a word beginning with a letter.
Banker.
Yeah. My mate from my football team says that he worked with James O'Brien and he was all right. I mean, question mark. Maybe he's changed. Maybe he was never all right. I don't know, but I'll just throw that out there. But that was James. And Toby also explained it to someone called Ian Morris, who said, how does PayPal stop anyone from expressing their views? Presumably you mean monetizing their views, which isn't a free speech argument at all. And Toby says, I don't think any of the individuals or organizations PayPal has shut down want to monetize their views. Rather, we want our views heard in the public square or to defend the right of all people to have their views heard. And we relied on PayPal to facilitate that. Pretty simple. It's a payment processor.
Yeah, I am so bored of this argument that we're only taking one thing away from you, so it's not like we've locked you in a box and killed you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great. So if I'm only allowed to write down my own thoughts and only be seen by me, I'm still a free man, am I? It's like, no. You actually need a whole bunch of other things to facilitate living in a free speech society. Not just that, well, I can think my own thoughts, so I'm free. It's like, No. You need to actually be able to reach people or you don't actually have any freedom.
We covered this on the Weekly Skeptic. Just as this was breaking, I was speaking to Toby on our podcast. And then I said to him, I look forward to people explaining to me why you're not really cancelled. It's like, I saw Toby Young the other day. He was digging a ditch and that's his job now, but he was free. I didn't say they were stopping him.
I saw Solzhenitsyn. He was in his camp. He seemed fine. He's been eating bread.
Yeah, yeah. He's got food. You say he's cancelled. He can eat. Yes, so that's that, and I just, they've just messed with the wrong people, as I say, Callum, and I like the Free Speech Union's response here. PayPal has just reversed its decision to deplatform the Free Speech Union and apologise. A reminder that it's never a good idea to try and cancel any of us or any of our members. We will die in a ditch to defend free speech. And I just like that. It's just a win that has happened, and weirdly, within 3 minutes, without seeing that, I posted something very similar. I said, well done to everyone who spoke up, cancelled their accounts and sent complaints. We shall never surrender. And you might say I'm getting carried away, Callum, by quoting Churchill, but I disagree.
No, when was the last time you saw this happen? When was the last
a little
time?
Win.
Yeah, like Stripe or PayPal or a bank account being reinstated. Like, you know, the bad man, for example, can't even have a bank account. When was the last time someone like him got their account back?
You're right. And obviously that's because Toby knows a lot of people. It really galvanized MPs and the media. And yes, we know not everyone can do that. And
that's the sort of playbook we have to follow. I mean, that's the reason the Free Speech Union exists, is to do this sort of thing and is doing it successfully, which is why it's actually worth praise and joining.
Yeah.
I'm a member as well.
Everyone has to get together, delete in things like this. They have to delete their accounts, whatever it is. People like Jack D, it really helps. If the more brave people come forward, we can make it happen, because these companies are just scared. They'll just go with it whichever way the wind blows. We just got to blow harder.
There are more of us than more of them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And by the way, do you know how that Churchill speech actually starts?
The full speech?
Yeah. No. People don't realize it. It's kind of a weird speech. I've been obsessed with it.
PayPal has joined Hitler.
People don't realize it. He actually starts, he goes, when Napoleon led Boulogne for a year with his flat bottom boats and his grand army, he was told by someone, there are bitter weeds in England. There's certainly a great many more of them since the British Expeditionary Force returned. That's how it starts. Then he goes, so I have myself full confidence. I won't do the whole thing. But people don't realize it starts. Can you think of it
we'll
as a famous...
We'll make that a separate video.
Thank you. The we shall never surrender. But he actually starts with this weird reference to Napoleon, because he was waiting to invade. He was just waiting for 3 days of fog to invade. And he was hanging around Boulogne. And then he decided, oh, I'm not sure about this. And then he decided to call it off. That was just before the Battle of Trafalgar. And he just realized, no, I'm not even going to bother, because there are bitter weeds in England. And that's us. And that's why you can't mess with us, PayPal. Although I will just add this as a little ending, just purely for you, Callum, because I was coming on with you. Toby wrote this piece in Spiked. And at the end, he said, provided I'm not a member of ISIS or the Taliban, my political views should be a matter of complete indifference to PayPal. I was like, what's he got against the Taliban?
Taliban aren't a terrorist group, Toby. I'm not a member, by the way, so that's fine.
Purely for you, I thought, you know, steady on, Callum's mate. And he says, if financial companies continue to deny services to people whose political views they disapprove of, free speech in the West will be at an end. So, absolutely.
Yeah, but he's 100% right. Like, if you're not a member of a actual terrorist group, like, what business is it whatsoever of a payment company to shut down your ability to send money or receive it? It's none of their damn business. Like, if you're an actual terrorist company registered by the government in that territory you're working, then yeah, go ahead. Like, it's the law, in fact. But if it's just random people like Toby, you've got nothing. Like, you're just a tyrant in your own little world.
Yep. Well said.
Not all of them are my mates.
There's some bad ones too.
I didn't get many numbers out of them, actually. So got a few on Twitter who started following me. I was just like, oh, hello. Did you like the film?
did the one who said you were beautiful follow you?
No, I haven't found him yet, which...
Well done on that video, by the way. It's very good.
Thank you. But hopefully the guy who appreciated my looks doesn't find me.
No.
Otherwise, might have some weird chats. Well, I suppose we'll move on. So... The Royal Air Force have finally admitted that they're racist. It's a good day. Finally, we have an admission. Structural racism does exist in England, and we can actually point to it. Only a slight snag for those on the left. It's not against people with brown skin. Yeah, I know. It's another day in paradise for England. And we'll start off just by mentioning an article that's on lotuses.com that everyone should go and check out. This is from Vicky here on Her Majesty's Grace, the Last of a Generation, talking about Her Majesty, of course. And one of the sad realities of Her Majesty is her Royal Air Force went mad in the last few years of her life and is continuing to be mad. However, they are now admitted that, yes, during her reign, they were just openly racist against white people. So that's a win, I guess. It's nice to have an admission. So we'll start off. So this is where the story began. RAF recruitment under review after claiming that diversity candidates were prioritised. Kind of prioritised. RAF recruitment is under review after women and ethnic minority candidates were given priority over other applicants, being men and white people. The move comes... I don't know why they don't just mention it. Like, other applicants of all kinds. All other kinds of races that are not minorities or women.
Yeah, they don't mention it because we all know what they mean.
Yeah. The move comes after the head of the RAF recruitment team resigned after reportedly telling bosses she believed that its diversity targets were unlawful. Yeah, she's right. Good on her. Hero. Absolute. I hope she comes out publicly and we can all send her flowers or something, because it's just the right thing to do. Under equality legislation, positive discrimination, where someone is promoted solely because of a specific protected characteristic, is illegal. However, and this is where it becomes legal, an employer can legally take some steps to improve workplace diversity, known as positive action, which in the business we call structural racism.
Systemic.
Yeah. Structural or systemic, actually. Okay. Because we have direct discrimination in the form of, well, he's white, so I'm not hiring him. It's simple as that. Mm. But if you have a structure or system in which you say, well, we prioritize diverse candidates for diversity and all that, yeah, that's structural racism against white applicants. That's what you've done.
I love the fact that you call this woman a hero, and I look forward to the Hollywood movie about it, where she, one woman stood up for white people. What she had, they were racist. She had had enough. One day it'll happen. It's a long way in the future.
Daily Wire have got money, haven't they?
Yeah, good point.
Expand to Britain. Let's do it.
Should be played by Gina Carano. Vincent Gallo will show up for a cameo.
She's the one right-wing woman in media now. She plays everyone.
Well, yeah, she's the one Daily Wire, isn't she, that got canned by Disney?
Like, they're not even going to hire a British woman to play woman. Yeah. Gina Carano.
All right, governor. Yeah, just terrible English accent.
This is a bit racist, isn't it? Anyway, in an email dated August 4th, obtained by Sky News, the officer reportedly said she is not willing to allocate training slots based solely upon specific gender or ethnicity characteristics. Quote, it's unlawful, she wrote. Quote, I am not prepared to delegate or abdicate the responsibility of actioning that order to my staff. She said in her email that the order to load women and ethnic minorities alone was not actioned. So they just didn't do it. She didn't give it to her staff. She was just like, go to hell. You guys above me. I mean, remember, this is quite high up in the RAF, which it shows you the level of rot. Like, it's not at the bottom level of, like, a few recruiters did this thing because they thought the law said this. Like, no, the entire structure was telling people like her to do this, and she wouldn't pass it on to those below her because she knew it was immoral and unlawful.
And could you say it's the whole structure? And because this mentions training, I just wonder if this is the time to give you my little anecdote from a friend who did some work at a different aspect of defence, which I won't mention, but similar. And he said they were doing an anti-bullying, anti-discrimination thing. And they said weird things like, the universities are way ahead of us on this stuff. Red flag already.
Yeah.
And the other part was, she also said they needed to rename training rooms as they were all named after white men.
Is this in the RAF, this anecdote?
This is in the armed forces generally, but not the RAF.
Ministry of Defence.
I'm not going to say exactly in case that you can source my friend.
Her name?
But he says all the rooms are not... So they'd have to change... They're all named after notable military leaders. So like all the rooms are named after white... Well, who are they going to be named after?
Joan of Arc?
Like, yeah.
The French?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He suggests Boudicca. I mean, yeah. So there you go.
We've got the Montgomery room here, but I mean, Montgomery, what did he do for Britain?
Yeah.
I don't know. Nothing much. Killed the Nazis.
Rename the rooms. That'll do good.
So that's the level of rot. I mean, it really is bad. Quote, this direction to make offers of employment to additional women and EMs, ethnic minorities, gotta love the army, really dehumanized some stuff, candidates solely on the basis of protected characteristics and in preference to non-EM men, who have successfully passed all selection criteria ahead of them, she wrote. I strongly agree. This is what I don't get. I strongly agree that it is incredibly important to do all within our collective power to support the RAF's commitment to increasing diversity. This should, however, be achieved through lawful and proportionate means. It's not important. The whole thing's not important if you're a liberal on race. I mean, if you're a race nationalist or an actual racist, yeah. Yeah, this is super important to increase diversity or to decrease it. If you're not someone who obsesses over such things, none of this literally means anything. This is a huge waste of time. And you shouldn't be saying, oh, this is an important thing. I take on in account that this is something within our collective power we must do. No.
Right.
Literally nothing. No one is asking for you to do this. No one is demanding you do it, except race weirdos.
And that's very important because we forget on our side, the normal side, that we need to reject this idea of diversity in as a good in and of itself at all levels, because we don't believe in that. We believe in merit. So on certain organizations I work with, which I won't name, that we end up talking about, you know, woke stuff in the content. Oh, this is bad, that's bad. But within a context of box-ticking diversity to the nth degree while we're talking about it, and even at the expense of quality. And it's like, that's not what we believe in. And they've managed to get through their premises by attrition. It's this sort of Trump-like tactic as well, a kind of, here's our ridiculous first offer. Well, that's silly, but we'll do this.
You get stuck in the frame.
Yeah, we've all accepted the idea that it used to just be best person in anything. In comedy, it was like this. You know, for years it was a lot of white men, because that's mainly who did it in this country. And it's like, no, it has to be this. We've all accepted that premise, but I don't buy into the premise. No,
flip the entire chessboard. This whole thing is a huge red herring for you to be involved in. If we go to the next one here, we can see at the time the RAF actually responded to criticism of, you know, literally saying we're not going to hire white men, and said we're unashamed of our diversity targets. Oh, good. Thanks. Yeah,
we noticed.
Rub our face in it, why don't you? The woman in charge of RAF's recruitment has said she's unashamed of the policy that critics claim would mean that women and people of ethnic minorities, again, the language just gets more and more dehumanizing about them, being prioritized over white men. Air Vice Marshal Maria Byford has said that she slowed down recruitment processes for all candidates after figures showed that the RAF was not hitting its diversity targets. Right, you're fired. I mean, any sensible government would just be like, right, anyone like that is gone. You're either changing that or you're gone. This is not the paradigm we live in. Shouldn't be. Her comments followed the resignation of the unnamed female group captain, who, in the previous story, said that the targets were literally impossible without breaking the law. So that's what she should have done as well, but she didn't. An MOD spokesperson has said, no standards will be lowered for any group to get into the RAF. Basic training courses will be full when they commence. There is no threat to the RAF's operational effectiveness. Who believes that? Who believes any of that? By definition, you are. You are saying, as mentioned earlier, if you accept the framework that increasing diversity is important, but will only hire the best person for the job.
Right.
Pick one.
Yeah.
You can't have both. You can't sit there and tell me, well, I believe in meritocracy and competence hierarchies, so I'm going to hire the best black man for the job.
Yeah.
What? Like, no, you hire the best person for the job. But instead...
I think as you've said somewhere here, there's a fear of difference in general, isn't there? We seem to want one big blob. I mean, it's like the thing we did on the grammar schools. We can't have any difference because, you know, the idea of separating for quality is in itself evil to them.
Yeah, the idea that differentiation is some kind of crime. It's like, no.
It's weird, isn't it? Because
we differentiate everything in life.
Yeah, don't they like different stuff? Aren't they always going on holidays and going on about exotic food and stuff? They like difference?
They never go to foreign places. That's why they're so stupid.
Who?
The leftists. Like, they never go to the Middle East and then realise I might be wrong.
Don't the woke middle class sort of libtards
they go to France,
like, oh, I'm on holiday,
or Belgium, right, and they stay in the whitest areas possible and right, then come back and be like, yeah, they've got diversity and it works fine.
I thought difference was like the whole richness of the world. Am I wrong, Callum? I thought difference was good.
You want to come to Afghanistan and find difference?
Well, I mean, that's taking it too far.
Oh, really? Yeah. Funny that. So we'll go to the next link here, because the MOD has now admitted, we are racist. And what? What are you going to do about it? Cool. At least we know where we stand. So the MOD admits mistakes were made in its RAF diversity recruitment drive. Kinds of mistakes. They say that mistakes were made following the recruitment drive, and they could not meet their impossible diversity targets. Yeah, it's because they're impossible, by definition. Anyone could have told you that she told you, literally, that this was impossible, but whatever.
Well, you're in an 80-something percent white country. You know, I hate to go on about it, but it's like it's mathematically impossible, isn't it? They want X amount of people. There aren't enough people.
They wanted it to be equal to the census, which, again, the only way you're going to do that is by start saying to white men, you cannot have the role because you're a white man, which is what you tried to do and did, and therefore you're now backtracking.
But do you really think there's enough people to go around to where every job that wants to have perfect diversity can have it in this country? I don't think the numbers would stack up.
Oh, by force. I mean, if we organised the entire country like the Soviets and started sending blacks to where they need to be instead of where they want to be, which is you will now serve in the RAF. It's like, but I'm a teacher. Too bad. Get in the plane. We need diversity pilots. Literally has no idea how to fly a plane, but, you know, the diversity quota was met. Fantastic. Air Chief Marshal Sir Mike Wingston, earlier this month, said that there was absolutely no drop in operational standards. No drop in any standards. There was no discrimination against any group. No standards were dropped. There was no discrimination against any group. That's all one statement. He repeats himself twice on both things, which just tells you he's guilty and is lying.
Like slam poetry.
Yeah. Who believes this S? It's impossible to believe. The IT recruitment system allegedly ranks candidates on merit and could be problematic for the way in which the RAF recruits women and ethnic minorities, a leaked email said.
Merit is problematic. That's about as simple as you can state their position.
The fucking robot that does the recruitment has come out with the answer, and the answer is problematic to you.
The robot's a classical liberal.
Every single time the robot turns out to be some neo-Nazi because the robot believes in merit because you told it to believe in merit.
Reactionary AI.
The MOD claims that recruitment remains a top priority for the Royal Air Force, not just women and minority ethnic recruitment, and said it remained determined to maintain high standards whilst recruiting in a fair and non-discriminatory way. Yeah, literally impossible. Again, you cannot have diversity and also insist that you're not going to be differentiating between the candidates based on their race. It's what you are going to do. And, well, how are you going to maintain high standards if you do that? Because you're prioritizing low standards. Literally. You want diversity hires, not competence.
Reminds me of a slogan we covered last night, gamble responsibly. the ultimate oxymoron. Yeah.
But that's the thing. And there's a reason I'm so obsessed with this, is because it is important. It is the defense of the realm, after all. Nothing else that really matters when it comes to the state. And we have the statement from the MOD, if it goes to the next link here, who have said, the Chief of Air Staff and I support the greater ambition for greater diversity in the RAF, but neither of us will risk national security to get there. Number one, why? Ideologically, if you believe in diversity as our strength, why wouldn't you risk national security to get there, Mr. Wallace? Which, where's Gromit? Anyway, sorry, dumb jokes. But in regards to also the fact that you won't do this, you have. You already did. That's the story we just went through. And the thing is, we'll get back to it in a minute, but I don't know why these people don't think that they leak like a fucking sieve. Like, we have multiple links from people in the RAF just sending us endless woke stuff from them, which is unbelievable, but we'll get back to it. Because we'll mention first just the stuff they post publicly, such as the next link here, which is them posting their biannual diversity statistics. Ooh, we've reached our targets. We're getting closer, lads.
Yeah, annual wasn't enough. I'd like to hear that meeting. I think it should be biannual.
Yeah, and does this help us defend the realm? No. Does this help anything? No. It is just you and your obsession. And if you go to the next link here, we can see their achievements. There you have it. So they wanted 50-50 male and female in the army. Yeah, it's the army. What do you think the responses were going to be? I mean, this is with all your pushing. And it's like, right, just stop. Just start treating the candidates the same. It's all anyone's asking for, because then we can actually have defense instead of ideology. Sorry, it kills me. But then also just the idea of, like, what have you even achieved here? I mean, if you're paying all these people, the heads of diversity and inclusion at the RAF, for what? Those are your results. They told you they would get you 50-50. Well, they're all fired then. You won't do that.
And for the audio listeners, Callum, should we explain that the male graph is very big?
Yeah, weird, isn't it?
And the women graph is very low.
Yeah. The army is like 80 to 90% made up of men. I'm sure the listeners listening had no idea.
Good that I explained that.
You're right, we should explain it. I'm just taking the piss. It's just, the question you have to ask is, why did you even try this? Seriously. Like, where does this demand for equality of outcome actually come from? Where does this demand that you're not going to differentiate between men and women come from?
Satan.
Yeah. I don't know where else at this point. And this is something we need to get over, and I've hinted on a few times here. The idea that men and women are the same, stop it. What is wrong with you? You should not be saying they are the same, because you know they're not. And this concept that we can't differentiate between men and women when it comes to all parts of life is just at odds with reality. So if you actually wanted to achieve anything, you'd stop doing that. If we go to the next link here, we can see more from Ministry of Defense who are living in La La Land. We have them proposing here that, oh, look, we've published our report. Isn't that so good? They mentioned some of their achievements. We've relaxed our policies on hair and body art to welcome cultural differences.
Yeah, don't do that. Firstly, don't do that. You're the army. If anyone's going to have standards on hair, that's what we, short back and sides, that's what we rely on the army for. Standards in general. And about stuff like that adds up. They always say, you know, in battle, it's those small things that make a difference, small details. Stop relaxing your standards. Also, you end up with Hitler, because you relax everything, then Hitler starts doodling uniforms. That's what happens. He's like, oh, I've got an art project. It's a really strict uniform.
But it's also
and a
just
short haircut. That's my art. And then he's killing people across the world.
Who's got a hairstyle where they're like, well, I want to join the army, but I'm not shaving my hair.
Right.
But you know the deal when you're getting into the army.
Yeah, I don't want to be like, I'm working for the man. It's the army.
I don't work for you, man. Anyway, they also say they're engaging with 60-plus staff networks to drive inclusivity. Good to know that there are more government cuts that can always be made. If you go to the next link, we have them pledging the armed forces to Yankee Kimberly Crenshaw here, with the racial pride flag being displayed with the Royal Air Force. Aviators from the Royal Air Force LGBTQ+ community are preparing to take part in London Pride. Yeah, and you came up with the Kimberly Crenshaw intersectionality flag.
And can I just say the bit that bothered me there? No one should ever feel like they cannot be their true self. Completely wrong. All right? Don't be your true self.
The people in dog costumes have to keep that in the bedroom.
Specifically in the army, you're actually meant to not be yourself. You're meant to be part of a unit that acts as one, that's a team. It's all about team, Callum. And it's specifically not about individual identity. Unless maybe if you're like a commando or a sniper, you get a little bit of leeway. You know what I mean? That's what it's not about. Have you not seen any films? Like, don't let the id run wild. That's like Venom. You know what I mean? Like, repress the true self, especially if you're in the army.
But I'm a lover, not a fighter. Wait, yeah, whatever. Kill the Iraqis.
Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly. I'm not sure how I feel about this. You know, I don't know if it's what I'm into. You're part of a killing unit.
That's a pretty good job and feel proud of it. And if we go to the next one here, we also have just other posts from them. I mean, this one just made me laugh. This is, we're going to learn about Will. Will has got time to tell us, and the RAF are organising themselves to tell us. If you click on the first image there, we have Will. Will's here to tell us that he's a pansexual. I got nothing against you, Will. I don't care. That's the thing. I don't know why on earth anyone is wasting any of their mind doing this. I don't know why the hell you get money to do this, Royal Air Force. Why buy planes when we can do this instead and tell everyone Will is pansexual?
And is Will even real? Or is he like those examples we used to get in like maths textbooks at GCSE? Like, hey, I'm Will. You know, like, is he hypothetical? I'm not even sure if he's real.
But also, Will, I mean, how do you say that in Russian? Just to be sure. Because, I mean, when stuff goes down, I mean, we're going to be sure that we can tell them because they'll take this seriously as well.
Yeah, doesn't it worry as well that he has no grip on reality? That's quite key, isn't it? Like, where are the coordinates? Oh, where I feel they are. You know what I mean? Like, a pansexual is not a thing. So, you know, it's better if you know what things are real in the
army.
I'm
pretty sure pansexual just means bi, but you just want to sound special.
Pans is more.
Well, it means you have sex with everyone.
Yes.
Which is men and women, which means you're bisexual. So,
yeah, it's a good point because there's only two options.
Well, you're wasting our time.
Yeah, yeah. Just stick with bi.
Yeah, Will didn't want to say bisexual, though, for some reason. Just getting back to that statement, though, that Mr. Wallace made, neither of us will risk national security to get there, to the diverse world. Right. As I said, you retards forget that you leak like a sieve, and we're going to go through some of those leaks just to remind everyone of, yes, you will risk security. And we have here the Royal Air Force. This is their pronoun guide that they issued to the whole force. Why? Just why? You didn't have to do this. While everyone is studying pronouns, the Russians are studying the blade. I don't know. They say in here, pronoun guidance for the whole force. Common pronouns include, can you guess, Nick?
Well, I knew about a they because I was trying to read an article last night for The Independent where they referred to an actress that was a woman as they throughout and it made me want to punch things.
The paper.
Well, she claimed that she'd suddenly become non-binary, but she's able to play women really well. Yes, because you're a woman. And you've just changed some letters. It was insane.
Genius.
She was being praised for being... A woman was being praised for playing a woman. But anyway, carry on. There's they.
So we got they. We got she.
Oh, I've heard of that.
I don't know how you say these next ones.
G.
Z, per. Then we have...
That's G, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a Z.
Her I haven't heard of.
Them, her, him, her, per. Her, his, yeah. His, hers, pers. So you got to memorize all those by tomorrow.
Is pers like just person?
I don't know. I can't read insanity. Like, if this was smeared in excrement on a wall, I'd take it more seriously. I'd be like, well, at least someone here needs seeing to, but the person here has just lost their mind. Personally, I'm reminded of their obligation... Sorry. Personnel are reminded of their obligation to promote, quote, total inclusivity. Total inclusivity is not negotiable. Don't know what that means. Sounds like the sort of thing Kim Il-sung would say. But whatever. Instead, this document was issued to the whole force and some lovely chap sent it in. And if you're in the RAF or any of the armed forces, continue to send in this stuff. We get them quite regularly. And they're always hilarious, to say the least, to expose that these people are lying when they tell us we won't risk national security. Yeah, you do. And number one, it's not national security, it's defense of the realm, but whatever.
Total inclusivity would just be, everything would be included in everything. Like, that's just one thing, isn't it? Just one massive blob. Like I say, total inclusivity, what can it possibly mean? Like,
I will learn the pronouns. I will live in the pods.
Many things
are excluded. I will become a lesbian and suck cock. I don't know.
Yeah. From the army, many, many things. Almost everyone's excluded from the army by the nature of it, right? Traditionally. Because it's the elite of the elite, right?
Yeah, I just realized someone's going to clip that. God damn it.
Oh, what was that? Was it?
Sorry. But yeah, it is the elite of the elite. And instead, it's now the woke of the woke. So if we go to the last one here, just to issue one other leak that I found hilarious and I have to include from the Royal Air Force. This is back when they had their National Inclusion Week, in which they started having lectures on white privilege, as you can see there. White privilege such as not passing because you're white, as mentioned in the first story. Nice little circle, this whole thing, which was nice. there you have it. There's your white privilege. Come and join the Royal Air Force. We'll berate you about it and then not pass you to the next section because, well, you are white after all. It's good to know that they're racist. It's good to have an admission. And reform is needed, to say the least.
Callum, I'm a layman, but that doesn't sound like total inclusivity.
It does, because white people aren't part of the diversity.
They're not really people, are they? Let's be fair.
You know what's annoying? I can leave that in, but I have to censor everything else you said about it. Let's go to the video comments.
I thought I could ignore this, but I can't. Y'all have just been totally messing up the lyrics to My Country, 'Tis of Thee. I don't know what's wrong with y'all people, but I'd like to see it stop and, you know, sing the song the way it's meant to be sung.
No, God Save the King. Get stuffed, Yankees.
Although what was his? I didn't quite catch it. What was he saying?
So sing the first lines of God Save the King. God save our gracious King. Yep. All right. My country, 'tis of thee, O fair land of liberty. It's the same tone. So basically, I don't know what the name of it is, but that background music of the national anthem and the
Do you know what we never sing enough is confound their politics, frustrate their knavish tricks.
Yes.
I want more of that verse.
My favourite verse.
Yeah.
People who don't know, the national anthem has more than one verse and the rest of them are quite based.
Yeah.
Rebellious Scots to crush.
Yeah. Like, what if Liz Truss did that? And we are bringing back the rebellious
whole
Scots.
National anthem.
Yeah. I want to say, we are thinking about, you'd be like, the rebellious Scots. Yeah.
Well, I think it's still in there.
No one's going to be talking about the economy then.
No, you are right. Let's go to the next one. I remember, I'm pretty sure the Danish government, I think she told us before, they were boasting that they were like, yeah, we can power all of Denmark with green electricity.
They sure did. Greenest country in the world, guys, but it's still not enough. We need to reach that zero emission. And then the newspaper have warned that if there happened to be a day this winter with no wind, then maybe we could run into a few issues, but don't worry about it. I mean, what could possibly happen?
Yeah, I'm more confused by the fact that, so in Denmark, they boasted at a time that all of our country is powered by green electricity, you know, all this crap. And then this all came, the war, and they're like, oh, price of electricity is going up. It's like, how? Like, if we're not using gas, how is the price of electricity going up? But none of it ever makes any sense.
WEF, mate. I just say that now and I don't really know what to say.
Yeah, Miles used to do something like that. He'd always say, oh, so true. But yeah, it's it never ends, does it, Sophie? Let's go to the next one.
Hey, Preston Poulter here, Pocket Jazz Comics. And you know, I've been supporting you guys month after month. I love your content. And I just realized today how wonderful it is that you folks bill me in British pounds as an American, because every month your subscription keeps getting cheaper. And I'm looking at what your central bank's doing, and I think it's just going to keep getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper for me. So thank you guys so much. You do a wonderful job.
Yeah, I'm not feeling too good about all that.
No, he's trying to make it as some sort of diss. But, you know, it makes our exports cheaper. So I'm owning it.
What do we export? We're a service economy.
Woke ideology.
We don't make much.
If we did, though, Callum, if we got the manufacturing base back. Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. Does it really matter, though? I mean, is it just a sort of macho thing to say, I know we don't like the sound of the dollar and pound having parity, but does it matter that much, ultimately?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but we still import loads. Like, almost most of the stuff we use is imported. You know, tiny island, all that. So everything we import is becoming more expensive.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
Plus, it's also just annoying to see the Yankees.
Yeah, because Biden's rubbish. It's all based off Trump anyway.
But do you remember when it was a pound to $2?
I do.
Before 2008?
Mm-hmm. It was also in the 90s, as I recall, sometime around there.
Even I remember that ratio, and it just felt good.
It was a good ratio, yeah.
And now it's 1-1, and I'm just like, no.
Nah, it feels off.
It doesn't feel right. Hate it. I can also see John saying here, tourism is also gets a boost from the low pound, but I don't think tourism actually is that big of our economy. We're not Greece or anything. But yeah, It's not nice to see. Makes our tourism more expensive as well, which is crap. But otherwise, we export services, people are saying. Beans on toast. Don't think we export that. No one's getting that. You know what I saw the other day? I went to Camden. And you know Camden Market?
It's a bad start already. Did you see an old anarchist who still thinks it's the punk era? Carry on.
Yeah, I saw a couple of those. But I went to the market because I'd always heard stories about it. And apparently it's like, you know, an edgy place or something. It's the most middle class, unbearable tourist trap I've ever been to.
It's bollocks.
I went in and there was a place that was like a cafe, sat down just to rest my legs, got out of the menu. £11 for avocado on toast. £11. Madness.
Yeah, anyway. That's Camden. That's classic.
It's just, I didn't know it was that bad. But anyway.
Expensive filth.
That's true. We'll go to a lesbian club then. So,
yeah.
Free Will 2112 says the first rule of lesbian club is get that vegan menu sorted. Sophie Lev Peterson says men strip searching women is only one part of how insidious gender neutral police is. You're now also going to be sending tiny little women into physical fights against big muscly violent men who are having a fit and expect them to handle that as well as a man. In all cases here, women are the losers. Yeah. And this is something I've noticed, and you should play this game too. Take it back to GB, tell Andrew and everyone, see if it works. So whenever you're reading a story about discrimination, right, and they say, oh, we must not discriminate against between men and women or whatever, replace the word discrimination with differentiate, and you notice suddenly it actually makes no sense.
Mm.
We will not differentiate between men and women. So, yeah,
this is all discriminate really means as well, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's why you get these, sometimes someone will mention about that price discrimination exists for flights. And anyone who's been to university in the last year will be like, oh, no. And it's like, no, that literally, if you're a student, we charge you less because we need the tickets sold.
We discriminate in every way all the time, and it's not necessarily bad in itself.
Chris Wolf says, her name is Robert Paulson. Her name is Robert Paulson. I don't know what that was a reference to.
It's a reference to the Fight Club movie.
Oh, right.
Callum.
Sorry.
You're too young.
Yeah. Archibald H. Turtle says, a phobia is not a fear. It is an irrational fear. A fear of poisonous snakes is not irrational, but if you live... But it is if you live in Ireland. Supreme Duck says it's...
Well,
like...
that is, why is it called arachnophobia? Because a fear of spiders is often rational if they're poisonous, which they are in many countries.
But they're not here.
Mm, but you still... You wouldn't have the phrase... I'm not, is that a phobia always a... Well, yeah, okay. Whatever.
I believe so. Might be wrong. But Supreme Duck says it's like the left has a masochistic hive mind. Create an organization. Include everyone. Slowly exclude everyone again for not being extremist enough. Repeat. Yeah, kind of. This is what they're up to. Lord Nerevar, the banker man himself. Lesbian club has to be kept secret because they're the gay equivalent of super straight. A definitive sexuality with a preference for only one sort of genitals. Heresy. That is entirely true as well. You know what super straight is, don't you?
Yeah, this, I remember the super straight meme.
So you got super gay too.
Right.
Which is that I only have sex with women. Please. That's why I'm a lesbian.
Right, right. That's called super gay now. Yeah. Makes sense.
Kevin Fox says, so if a trans women are women, they must be feminine. So what's wrong with the term feminine products? Oh yeah, because most trans women are more masculine than feminine. Talk about ridiculous. There are some really butch lesbians out there and have been for decades, but they have never complained about the word. I suppose the trans lot could raise complaints that they are feminine, but can't use any of the products either. Yeah, it's another funniness. You're labeling these tampons for women. It's like, yes. I mean, unless you're using it for bullet wounds, I don't know what you're using it for. Let's go to PayPal if you want to read
your notes. I seem to have a lot. It's a good section, a good white pill segment. George Happ, even if PayPal backed down, people should still not use it. They did so only due to the backlash and will do this again to less prominent targets. Alternatives to everything. Exactly correct, as we said in the piece, and that's why Toby's not coming back until everyone is back on. Omar Awad, what are you going to say?
It's like the Wolf of Wall Street, except like, I'm not coming back.
I'm not fucking coming back. Yeah, yeah. We should make that meme, just Toby doing that. Omar Awad, the depersoning of people, sorry, I'm getting tired. The depersoning of people for no discernible reason is the current day discriminatory equivalent of no blacks, no dogs, no Irish. They haven't broken any terms of service, used the platform for illegal actions, or besmirched the company's reputation. The administrators just don't like who they are. Yep.
Yeah.
Robert Longshaw, everyone should go on.
No liberals, no conservatives, no lesbians.
Yeah, that's funny. Robert Longshaw, everyone should be making efforts to move their payment infrastructure to parallel economy if possible. Yeah, I've heard about parallel economy on Getter. Is it any good?
I haven't got around to using that, actually.
Okay, but I have heard about it. It sounds like it might be the new thing. Andrew Narog, honestly, at this point, fascist is almost a badge of honor. The doublespeak of the left is insane, ever guilty of the very things they accuse the right of, can confirm. Bald Eagle 1787, I don't care if PayPal back down. These payment processors need to be taken down several notches. They're acting like de facto banks without the government oversight or regulation. Payment processors can just shut down your account and take all your money without any notice, which they did to Toby. They froze his money in there for a bit. Banks at least have to give you your money back. Not so with these payment processors. It looks like a bank and acts like a bank. It needs to be regulated like a bank. Yep.
Yeah, but also the banks need tighter regulation, which is a human being should be entitled to have at least one bank account, I think. Like, no matter how bad you think, let's go to the extreme, like an actual extremist, not, you know, the bad man. Anjum Chowdhury. I feel that dude should be able to access his bank account. I think he can, actually. Robinson.
He probably can, but Laura Loomer can't.
No, like Robinson definitely can't, but I think Chowdhury can, which, like, one of them actually did terrorism, so.
Yeah, the next stage is no flight list, isn't it? But that, we won't even get into that. Lord Neverer, good job, everyone. Yeah, this is one of those few moments we can truly say that we affected change in a major company for the better. Better still, Toby Young lobbying the government to pass laws banning this crap is better. I'm not one to support the government, like, ever, but if we're going to have one, it might as well do what it was always supposed to do, work in the interest of the public. Imagine that. Good call. Do you want me to go through all of these?
Sure.
Because Kevin Fox, Toby needs to set up a new company of techies to investigate big tech companies, because I'm pretty sure there are a load of payments going through PayPal that are payments to or for illegal services. Interesting. Ramon Skinner, one of them, just watched the latest Tick History video, and if these lunatics had any idea of what a National Socialist Nazi is, they wouldn't be calling random people the name. Lessons of history to be lost on these people. Seem to be lost on these people. You can't make stuff up and call it science and back it up with more made-up science. That's exactly what National Socialists did. Yeah.
If you're not familiar with Tick, he's he's a historian who runs his own YouTube channel.
Oh, okay.
And he does a lot of stuff. And actually, what do the National Socialists genuinely believe? Like, to actually understand them? And no one has been able to do it like him, like actually explain it in a coherent way. His most recent one was on the religion side. Like, right. The weird ideas of, like, the Aryans come from the Nordic people who come from the North Pole.
God stuff.
And stuff like that. And it's
bonkers,
madness.
Yeah. And it's also, yeah.
But it's like a Himmler sent a team of archaeologists to Tibet to prove that it was Aryan so they could claim it. Right. Which, that was a real thing. It's just, none of this insanity makes sense unless you know anything about.
Yeah, so arcane, bonkers stuff no one talks about. And also, I still think that it is probably left-wing. I sort of buy the argument. It's collectivist.
Oh, 100%.
It's completely opposite to classical liberalism, conservatism, as we know it, you know.
I'll send you his video about what is National Socialism.
Okay.
Is it socialism? Because he, if you want to break it down, I mean, the way he does, you've got fascism, which is, well, we'll start with socialism, which is communism. Socialism on the basis of class, so the workers versus the bourgeoisie, blah, blah, blah. And then you've got fascism, which he defines as socialism on the basis of the nation, so you socialize the whole nation together, and that's why it's corporate and all that. And then with national socialism, it's socialism on the basis of race. So the equality aspect is among the German race, the Aryans. So that's why you can end up killing all the Jews. They're not part of the race. So they're the bourgeoisie in this case, in that, you know, dichotomy there. Mm-hmm. And it makes far more sense. Like, you actually start to understand why Hitler did what he did. And then you're like, right, okay, yeah, he doesn't just look like a maniac. He looks like an ideologue, like the Maoists or the Leninists, etc.
Yeah. All right, I'll check that out. Tick History.
I'll send you it.
Will the Impaler? It's certainly a move in the right direction if there is legislation to stop financial providers shutting accounts based on these political reasons. It's still possible for the government/civil service to financially non-person someone by putting them on the sanctions list. This makes it illegal for banks and financial institutions to do business with them. That's what you were referring to. I wonder how this power would be wielded by a future Labour government. Well, yes, this Labour government the media's obsessed with us having. John Price, social media is our Tower of Babel, and the loony left has a vehicle to expound views that should not be stated, but not even thought about. Sorry, this is hard to read. But when I was at school, we didn't have the internet or mobile phones, showing my age, but to be fair, it was Swindon in the 70s I was brought up in. We didn't have mobiles when I was at school, the very end of it. If you had someone who was what we used to call a shitster, you could get away from such people. Now there's nowhere to hide from them. Yeah, Callum, you've never known this world where you could get away from people. Edward of Woodstock, here's the thing about being on the right these days. You don't often get someone successful coming out in support of you. It does make you feel quite great. The fact we have a few good comedians who've gone to GB News and so forth is quite refreshing. Thank you. One of my favourite sketch comics, John Finnemore, is still firmly in mainstream opinions, it seems, and that saddens me. I think I might know his wife. But the comedy world is a brutal, very fascistic world. world, if we're going to use that word. And you've got to, it's horrible when you stick your neck out. You get horribly piled on, as happened to me. You get cancelled, you get attacked. And you just got to go through that and just walk through the fire.
What's left for comedians who aren't leftists, essentially?
You aren't?
Yeah, I mean, you've got sort of maybe GB News, a YouTube channel, or like doing tours are the only things I see those kind of people doing.
That's it. That's what we have. We have GB, we have this podcast, and we have other podcasts. We have doing our own stuff. That's it. And we obviously, and the things we lose,
the state.
Yeah, we don't have the BBC. The things we lose are getting less attractive anyway because they put Live at the Apollo on BBC Two. They filled it with diversity. It started to tank. So what we're losing is sort of weirdly shiny coloured, terrible woke programming. Have you noticed the colour schemes are always weird, like bright primary colours, and it's like men behaving sort of like children and women, and you can just immediately look at those programs, and it's always someone with dungarees, and you immediately know, oh, it's a woke comedy program. No one's going to be funny, and it's all going to be weird and vaguely kind of pedo energy. But just something about it. I'm not saying they are pedos, but you know what I mean. There's something about it. It's really creepy to me. I can't quite define it. It's like Rainbow or something. It's like a children's program, but it's an adult comedy. You're like, why are the colour schemes like this? Anyway, so that's just my pet peeve. But the thing is, the BBC, though, they don't have to have quality because, of course, they extort money from us. So what we have at GB is we're always fighting on our show for actual quality. It's like, no, we rely on viewing figures. We will get sacked if we don't have the viewing figures. So we have to make it quality.
That's be funny.
Yeah, it's very hard to fight for quality now in anything. And it's not the norm, I've discovered. You have to fight and, you know what I mean? You have to, against all kinds of forces, and conscious and unconscious, to actually get anything quality. And we're used to such a socialistic world, the BBC and things. They don't need quality because they steal our money anyway, and that's why they can put on garbage comedy. Bit of a rant, sorry.
No, completely insightful. If we go to Royal Air Force, so Freebill2112 says, the RAF targets are racist because they are based on race criteria. What have we come to? These are the inheritors of the legacy of the few who saved this country from a Nazi invasion in 1940, have now descended into parody. And funnily enough, have actually descended into race socialism, which was the thing they were fighting ideologically. Good job. Good job, guys. I hate to say it, though. Yeah, I won't say that because I'll get in trouble. So I'll leave that there.
Something Callum won't say. How bad is it?
Pretty bad. X, Y, and Z says, shows that this individual should have been court-martialed and sent packing. The military has a mission and objective to achieve. This interferes with those objectives and puts lives at risk. Yeah, it literally threatens the defense of the realm. Which is your one job. The one thing you pay to do. Supreme Duck, 50-50, male and female in the army. WTF. I feel like a feminist now. Protect the women, most of them at least. Yeah. I don't get what the madness is. I love Robert Conquest talking about this in World War II, because a lot of feminists have this rhetoric of, oh, that was a time of liberation for women where they were needed, and we could show that we were as good as the men. And I was like, no, you weren't. Like, you demonstrably weren't. I mean, like, the women who were brought into the defense of Britain, I believe this, I don't know if it's part of the RAF, the Home Defense Force, but if they're figuring out who's going to shoot down the aircraft, they would have the women do basically everything except load the guns, the anti-aircraft guns and whatnot, because it was just too physically demanding. It's like, no, we need this to be as efficient as possible or we're going to lose to the Nazis.
Yes.
And, sorry, love, but you don't have the upper body strength. But there's no BS about the time.
But they won the war by being secretaries. If you watch any movie, it's always like, but there was a key secretary there who was a badass boss girl, and she basically won the war by working with Churchill or doing something else, and the Enigma or something. It's always a woman, like, she was the key. It's like, no.
War is a man's world, and that's why the men are made for war and death, and women aren't.
That's another good calumny. Men are made for war and death. And by the way, what book is that by Conquest? Because I love his Laws. Is brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Reflections on a Ravaged Century.
Okay.
We did a book about it. Highly, highly recommend. I'll show you. I think I've got it.
Because I always think about his Laws. One is right-wing and matters one knows best, or whatever it is, or one knows about.
Yeah. Everyone is most conservative about the thing they know the most about.
Yeah, and then there's the other one, is any institution not explicitly right-wing will eventually become left-wing, etc. And I'm learning some, even that are specifically right-wing, some might even fall as well. But yeah.
So Lord Nerevar again says, the RAF is so racist that they're more likely to hire a fighter pilot who is more likely to crash a several million-pound plane just because they have the correct family heritage. And then a whole bunch of stuff has been squiggled out, so I don't know what you said, but...
It must have been bad.
Shake Silver, so the RAF has moved past its no, it's not happening phase and reached the it is happening and it's a good thing. If there was any real Tory leadership in charge, you think this administration would be
this admission
would be caused to clear out the progressives. Yeah, that's why I can't get over that tweet from the MOD there. That was them having a meeting with Ben Wallace, the defense secretary, in which everyone admitted that what they'd done was racist, and Ben's response was, well, we won't do that. You are, still. Like, we still got the leaks. You know this is still good. I don't understand. The hell is
wrong? Shut it down. Shut it all down.
Yeah. Anyway. Baron von Vorhawk, on the other side of that battle. My name is Will, and I'm a pansexual. That's really nice, Will. Now dig the damn trench.
Dig the hole, yeah.
The tanks are coming. Yeah. Could you imagine? It's literally the meme. It's Soviet meme.
Now dig the hole, yeah.
Umar Awad here says, more Muslims tried to join ISIS than the British military. Where the hell do they think they're going to find volunteering minorities in the same quantity as the census? On another note, do they even know what the census looks like? Last I heard, it was indefinitely delayed due to demographic results. Maybe we could reverse engineer the census data based on their recruiting goals. Ooh, that's edgy. I think we can reverse engineer it based on the immigration figures as well, which Coles tried to do. And I believe it's 1/4 not English now in England, in Wales.
Really?
Sorry, I think just in England. Include Wales, because they're not English.
That reminded me of something, sorry, tangential, I was vaguely thinking about today, is that the good thing about war, at least now, is there's nothing really, no one has any meaning or sense of patriotism or anything, but that means it's quite hard to recruit people for armies. You know how Russia's said to be struggling. So we might not have to, you know, you have to do war in these other ways, because who's actually going to fight war for any country now? Because there's no beliefs, you know, they offer you nothing to get behind, and no one has that strong patriotism. We have no Christianity, whatever you tied it to in the past. So it was a vague thought, but I was thinking today, there's nothing, it's going to be quite hard to actually recruit armies in general, I feel, in many countries.
I think the only one who has done well has been the Ukrainians, and that's because they're arguing.
They still have a strong sense of nationalism.
Defend your home, defend your land. It's quite simple. Whereas over here, the army never advertises on for king and country or for your village and defend your village. I mean, everyone's an anywhere person now, so why would they defend their village? That's not even a thing.
Right.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's just such a collapse.
You can probably get expert units to go in and do like tactical things and be like, we're elite, and almost like in any job, almost like we're taking pride in doing it well. But I think you'd struggle to get anyone on the basis of patriotism.
Yeah, because you think the ideology you put forward, I've met some servicemen who say that didn't matter. Like, they were going to join the army either way, so that was just where they wanted to go.
Right.
At 16, you know, I get that. But if you're looking at, you know, wider figures than just those who are going to do it anyway, I think that is important. And in regards to the ideology you're going to espouse, I've met quite a few guys who have left now, and they look back on their service and see what it's achieved ideologically. Like, we defended a regime that's now a minoritarian state that enforces this sort of stuff on us. What was the point?
Yeah.
And I can't blame them for thinking that way.
I was going to come to that as well. I was thinking, yeah, people like us who are patriots, whatever the cause we're being asked to sign up for is probably going to be at odds with our beliefs anyway. So, yeah, you know what I mean? If you're,
I love Britain. Well, don't join the army.
Yeah, exactly. You won't be allowed anyway, luckily, now, so that's all right.
Yeah, if you're a white man, literally go anywhere else. Don't go to the unis. That'll kill you. Yeah, but get a trade. Get a trade. I have no idea what else there is left that isn't just openly hostile to you. Robert Longshore says, what did the defense secretary really mean when he said neither of us will risk national security to get there? Did they really mean to say they may have possibly been hiring staff who aren't really that concerned about the country and may even just defect within a time of war? Yeah, and they will. I met some guys, I won't go into too much detail, who did tell me that they had the same problem in the army very recently with this sort of thing. There was one guy who told me it wasn't like the SAS, but it was another section in which they wanted a woman to get through in like the early 90s when he was doing training. And so they had some women apply, like 7. All of them dropped out on the first day. Big surprise. Okay, bye. And then the next year, the uppers got really annoyed and were like, no, we must have one woman pass the thing. So what we're going to do is we're going to start a big advertising campaign to get women in. We won't discriminate in favor of women, but we're going to get loads of them to sign up. I was like, right, okay. Next year, same selection. They had 200 women apply. Like, one of them's got to get through. First day, all 200 dropped out of the course voluntarily.
A very hard course.
Then the next day, they gave up on the goal. It was done. This was in the 90s. And then he went back, he says, a few years ago. And he turns up and he's seeing who's in there. And there were like 5 women. So he looks at the guys in charge of recruitment, who's his mate, and he just goes, how? And he says, you know.
Lowered the whole standards and just, yeah, faked it.
That's our army. That's what our army looks like.
They obviously, you can't have women on the special forces. It's not controversial. That's what everyone in the special forces thinks. I mean,
it's that quote. You see the army? It's a meme. It's a joke video. But there's this army guy who's like, there's a reason women can't be in Delaforce. It's because as soon as you put 150 pounds on a woman's back, she crumbles like a fucking crouton.
And it's also the other thing they're pointing out, the relationships and jealousies and controversies. And then you get into the wider issue of women in the workplace. We won't go there.
But it's just, we all know this is stupid, but they do it anyway. Sophie Love Peterson says, honestly, all of this diversity hiring in England feels like an American infiltration. I mean, America has the whole we are a nation of immigrants thing. There are black slaves on our soil and their descendants are still here. Which, this is a complaint.
And we had the Huguenots. We're a nation of immigrants, Callum, because of the Huguenots.
Oh, yeah, 1,000 people.
What was it? 10,000 in 100, 50,000 in 100 years, 10,000 in 100, something insanely
Two
low.
Weeks of immigration in 10 years.
Yeah, I know. But they say, no, the Huguenots, we are a nation of immigrants. Get lost. Anyway, follow me on Twitter.
Where would they find you, Nick?
It's at Nick Dixon Comic. And I'm allowed to plug the Weekly Skeptic.
Yeah, go ahead.
Listen to the Weekly Skeptic with me and Toby Young, and still listen to Lotus Eaters as well, but also listen to the Weekly Skeptic. Thank you.
Otherwise, we'll be back at 3:30 for The Doctrine of Fascism, which will be the book club there. Otherwise, thank you and goodbye.